Well, good morning, church. How's everyone this morning? Good, good, good. Doesn't the decorations look great? Hey, let's give a hand to those who decorated. Good job. And thank you to all those involved in the service this morning, those on the worship team and sound booth and all the different ministries going on. Just want to say thank you. Appreciate you all. Well, we're starting Advent today, and today marks the day that is the start of Advent, the Christmas season. And we should be very thankful to be a part of this season that celebrates the birth of our Messiah, the birth of our Savior, and the birth of our King who is Lord. Amen? Amen. Well, let's unite our hearts in prayer, and we'll get started here this morning. Father God, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for everyone here. Lord, bless them and be with them and encourage their hearts, Lord, as you did mine this week as I prepared. Lord, give me the words to say. Let them be your words and not mine. And Lord, let your spirit move upon this congregation and touch hearts. Let them leave here different. And Lord, thank you again that you came to this earth, Lord Jesus, and you died on that old rugged cross for a sinner such as I. Lord, I praise you today, and we worship you, Lord, and we love you, and we give this service to you in Christ's name. Amen. GotQuestions.org is a great resource. For those of you who don't know what it is, it's a website you can go to if you got a biblical question and you just punch it in. And chances are that question has been asked before, so it'll come up, and you can look through various questions and this was one that I asked GotQuestions.org, and it was this: what is Advent? And this is the answer it spit out. Advent is the season of the year leading up to Christmas, which is observed by various traditions. The word Advent itself means arrival or an appearing or a coming into place. Christians often speak of Christ's first Advent, and we speak of its second Advent as well. That is to say, the first Advent and second Advent to the earth. His first Advent would be the incarnation, which means God became flesh at Christmas time. You see, John MacArthur said this: if we could condense all the truths of Christmas into only three words, these words would be, and I know that many of you would know them words because it was spoken often here this morning, God with God with
us.
Hey, hallelujah. We tend to focus our attention at Christmas on the infant birth of Christ. The greater truth of the holiday is his deity. More astonishing than a baby in the manger is the truth that this promised baby is the omnipotent creator of heaven and earth, creator of all things. And imagine, the creator of all things came in the form of a child. Robert Flatt said, the giving of gifts is not something man invented. God started the giving spree when he gave the marvelous and wonderful gift of we know who, the unspeakable gift of his son. You see, the title of today's message is The Hope of Advent Found in the Name Emmanuel. We are going to live in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, this entire sermon. And we're going to go around all through the scriptures, but we are going to live there. Scripture reading is Isaiah 7:14. It says this: therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Did you ever consider that the hope of every young Jewish girl, was that she would become the mother of the Messiah? You see, that was their hope and their continued prayer that one day they would be the mother of the Messiah. Think about today. Do you think young girls today wish that that was them? You know, the hope of most young girls, truthfully, is to be Insta-famous or to have more Snapchat friends or maybe Facebook followers. But yet, if you go back in history, you will find out that these young ladies wanted to be the mother of the Messiah. The hope of the Jewish nation and beyond was that Emmanuel would come, because when he came, it meant that the Jewish nation would have what his name meant, Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, the Jews wanted a conquering Messiah. That's what they desired. One that would come and clean up the mess of the Romans, clean up the mess of the Gentiles and all their pagan worship, to clean it up. You see, in their minds, they didn't need spiritual redemption because they had the temple, they had the priests, they had the sacrifices, they had the law of Moses, they had all these things, so they had religion all figured out. And yet, they were wrong. They were wrong. You know, it's hard to believe. You can think in your mind that you were so right about something, when all along you are so wrong. You see, the Jews got it wrong, and they truly missed the mark, and they missed their Messiah. They missed their Lord. They missed their King. John Gill's commentary said this about Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, whether they would ask for one or not, a sign both in heaven and in earth, namely the promise of the Messiah, who being the Lord from heaven would take the flesh of a virgin on earth." You see, the sign was going to be a miraculous sign, a wonderful sign, a sign that has never been seen before. You see, we know that that sign came in Isaiah 7:14 and off into the New Testament as well when it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." What is that sign? Well, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Bill Crowder said, "Our God is the God of the unexpected. A few things could be more unexpected than the King of Heaven being born in a stable." You see, this prophecy reach forward to the virgin birth of the Messiah. Virgin is translated from the Hebrew word Alma, used for an unmarried woman or a woman who is old enough to marry, and called also a maiden. You see, the New Defender's Bible said this: Emmanuel is God with us. That is, God incarnate in human flesh. The unique miracle implied by the Adamic promise of the conquering seed of the woman. And where is that found? In Genesis, all the way back in Genesis 3:15. It says this: "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head." And then what does it say? "And you shall bruise his heel." And we know that when Jesus came and died on that cross, he conquered death. He did. He conquered it. Although he was beaten, battered, bruised, nailed to an old rugged cross, bled and died, his heel was certainly bruised. You know, men produce genetic seeds naturally, but a woman could only generate a seed supernaturally. A true virgin conception has only occurred once in human history, once, leading to the birth of Christ, who, as the God-man, is the only one who could ever destroy the old serpent called the devil, truthfully. So the hope is not only found in the seed itself, and the Savior. The hope is also found in the Savior going, what he's going to do one day. You see, Revelation says this in Revelation 12:9-10, talking about Jesus' work. It's not finished yet. It's not finished. There's more to do. In the future, read the book of Revelation and you will find out that there's more to do. And this is what it says: "And the great dragon was thrown down, and the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he is thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Verse 10. "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God." You see, we know that there's more to this story as a born-again believer. We know that there's more to this story in the future coming. And you see, we can talk about the seed and the Savior all we want, but there's a lot more coming. And we should all be thinking, hallelujah, we know Jesus. We know what's coming future. And we know where we're going to be when we take our last breath on this earth if we know Christ. Micah 5:2 says this, that the Messiah, he will come forth. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient of days. I got a story about that verse. And that verse, every time I read it, I think of this individual. I went to the border one time in the U.S. heading into Maine, and a guard, a colored man, he stopped me. And he goes, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going to preach. And he goes, where? And I told him I was preaching down in Maine. And he goes, do you know what my favorite verse is in the Bible? This is a guard. This is being recorded. Like, there's cameras on this guy, speakers everywhere. And this is what he says to me. He goes, do you know what my favorite verse is in the Bible? And I said, what's that, sir? And he said, Micah 5:2. He goes, man, come forth, you know, the one who will be ruler. And he goes, I believe in the ruler. And believe it or not, this man's son was a Hollywood actor. And he was in one of them law shows, this individual. But, you know, to see him and his love for his Savior, despite the work he was doing, was quite something. What a testimony. John 1:14 says this, and the Word, who is the Word, Emmanuel, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. You see, back to Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You see, the more you study the Word of God, the more it reveals God's truth and God's plans. And you see, when you understand God's plans for the future, you're going to understand something, that we should have a hope in them plans. And not only that, we have a hope for the future, despite what it looks like right here and now. We have a hope in the future. So when compared with the New Testament book of Matthew 1:23, it says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, oh my word, come on. Come on, people, I only hit it like 3 or 4 times. What does it mean? God with us, hallelujah. You are listening, you're not snoring, that's good. So what is our hope this Christmas? God with us. Why do we celebrate Advent? Because Jesus came to us, and Jesus was with us, and Jesus is now, if we know him as Lord and Savior, with us now, and we know that he's coming again. So my hope this Christmas is for my unsaved family, people that don't know Jesus, that I know. I want them to come to know Christ, amen? That should be your hope. That should be your hope this Christmas, is that your family comes to know Jesus, the ones that don't. That's our hope. That's our call. Every one of us. In a book, I got many books in my office, and one of them, 100 Hymn Stories. It's a beautiful, there's two of them. There's two really beautiful books, truly. And they tell you, they let you read the hymn, and then they tell you the whole story behind the hymn. And it's really, really a neat series. But there is a hymn we all sing at Christmas time, and it's called, and we sang it this morning, O Come, Emmanuel. You see, the hymn goes like this, and I'm not going to sing it, because I couldn't carry a note in my pocket, so I'm not doing that. And I know you would get up and you'd probably leave on me, but O Come, Emmanuel, the ransomed captive Israel. Now listen to this. That mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. And then it says this, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. You see, the book says this about the hymn, O come, Emmanuel. Advent, being 4 Sundays before Christmas, is the season of the church year that emphasizes the anticipation of the first coming of Christ to the earth. His coming as the Messiah was also prophesied about in the 6th century BC when the Jews were captive in Babylon. And are you getting this hymn now, this song that we sing, this Christmas song? So for centuries thereafter, faithful Hebrews looked for their Messiah with great longing and expectation, echoing the prayer that he would ransom captive Israel. In other words, he would free them from slavery. Now, this is the devastating part. You ready? The tragedy of tragedies, however, is that the biblical and historical fact that he did come onto his own to establish a spiritual kingdom of both redeemed Jews and Gentiles alike, but his own received him not. Today, most hymn books just use five of the original statements addressed to the anticipated Messiah. You see, that should almost break our hearts and bring a tear to our eyes to think that he came and they missed it. You see, David Jeremiah said, "All the Christmas presents in the world are worth nothing without the presence of Christ." Amen. Back to Isaiah 7:14, look at your Bibles, look up at the screen. "And you shall call his name Emmanuel." So when speaking about his name, compare this to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It says this, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You see, the manger scene had a child that took on the name above every name. His name is Jesus. His name is Emmanuel. His name is God with us. And you see, when you look at certain portions of Scripture, I don't think you got it here, but I'm going to add this verse, Philippians 2:10. And it says this in Philippians 2:10, "So that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth." He has all authority. God is with us. Jesus is salvation. Joshua. Salvation is found in his very name, and we know his name has powers because even the demons shook when you said his name. A.F. Wells said, "To take Christ out of Christmas in December becomes the bleakest and most colorless month of the year." And we are living in a day and age where everyone is trying to take Christ out of Christmas and make it about just about everything else. You can't take Jesus out of Christmas because then there's no Christmas, amen? Psalm 31:24 says, "Be strong and let your heart take courage. All you who wait, wait for the Lord." I'm waiting for the Lord. Actually, we had a conversation this morning out there, myself and a couple, about the coming of the Lord and what a blessed hope we truly have. I hope in the coming of the Lord. Why do we need to have hope at Christmas time? Because Christmas is the essence of hope. I know that I was not there in the nativity scene over 2,000 years ago. I wasn't there. So my hope is in the virgin birth of the Messiah and his salvation. You see, I know my family, they need Christ. And I said it already. They need him in order to go to heaven one day. They are not going to glory without him. So I hope in that they are introduced to the Savior of the world. John Gill's commentary said this, "All ye that hope in the Lord, for the eye of the Lord is on such, and he takes delight in them who hope for or trust in the word of the Lord, the essential word and the promised Messiah." And again, I'm reading all kinds of scriptures about hope this morning because we even lit the candle of hope here in Advent today. Psalm 33:18 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love." John Huss said, "Rejoice that the immortal God is born so that mortal man can live in eternity." You know, verses of hope are found all throughout the Bible. Do you want to know why? Because without hope, there's depression. Like I said, we counseled countless people, and the amount of disparity and depression we've seen was staggering. Now, you ready for this? Even amongst Christians. Without hope, there is worry. Without hope, there is anguish. Without hope, there is sorrow. Without hope, there's depression. You know, we need hope in order to survive in our Christian life. Truthfully, the hope of the Scriptures, the hope of the Lord's coming, the hope of salvation for, if you already know Him, for your friends, for your family, for your coworkers, we need hope. Psalm 33:22 says, "Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you." Do you hope in the Lord? Well, I do, and I hope you do as well. Psalm 39:7 says, "And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you." There's like nothing left other than Him. There's nothing left other than hoping in the Lord. We just buried our best friend on Thursday. I did the funeral. She had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. She was diagnosed with it, and they gave her a month to live. She lived 6-7 months, I believe. But guess what? She had hope that God would heal her. Great hope. We prayed. We laid hands on her, prayed over her, and we all thought the Lord was going to touch her and heal her. Then, when we knew and she knew that was not going to happen, she had hope that she was about to meet her Lord and her Savior, Jesus Christ, in heaven. You see, she had hope. Although it wasn't in the healing, she knew that one day she would be healed because she'd be with her Lord and her Savior. She would be restored. And you see, that hope was just a wonderful thing to see in the faith that she had in Christ. Christians need hope. We have hope in Christ. So tell me, during the Christmas season, where would we be without hope? Well, the season would be hopeless, truthfully. You know, my hope is built on nothing less. We know that hymn, right? Amen? Many of us? Hope so. It goes like this. It starts in verse 3. I want to read it. His oath, His covenant, His blood, support me in the whelming flood. When every earthly prop give way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, there's the hope, He's coming again. Oh, may I then be Him, in Him be found. Clothed in His righteousness alone, faultless, I stand before the throne. O Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. To finish, worship team, come on up. To know and fully understand that the greatest gift ever given was given 2,000 years ago in a rundown old stinky stable. You see, Corrie Ten Boom said it this way concerning Christmas: who can add to Christmas? The perfect motive is that God so loved the world. The perfect gift is that He gave His only Son. The perfect requirement is to believe in Him. Now listen, the reward of faith is that you shall have everlasting life. The title of today's message was "The Hope of Advent Found in the Name Emmanuel." God with us. This Christmas, is God with you? Do you know Jesus? Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? Is He the King of your life? Is He? Well, if He's not, then welcome Him in. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for the hope we have in You, Jesus. Thank You for Your salvation. Lord, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You that we know You are coming again. Lord, You're a wonderful God. You're worthy to be praised. And Lord, help us to have hope in You. Lord, help us if we are struggling this Christmas. Help us, Lord, if we are down, maybe depressed, Lord. Maybe we're lacking financially. Maybe we don't have the money to buy gifts. Lord, I pray that those who are hurting this Christmas, those who are sorrowful, will call out to you, who is their hope. Lord Jesus, we love you, we praise you, and we give this season to you. In Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.